We're here today for a live recording of piano jazz at Historic Mechanics Hall in downtown Worcester, Massachusetts. My guest today on piano jazz is Linda Ronstadt, one of the world's most loved singers and one of the most versatile and spectacular performers ever heard. Her career has covered rock, pop, country, Latin, and her new CD just abounds with beautiful jazz songs. There's no stopping this girl. Just listen and be amazed. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Miss Linda Ronstadt. You know, it's so amazing that this is the first time I've met you in all the years I've watched you on TV and listened to you. An amazing person. You look like a kid. It's amazing, doesn't she?
Well, thank you.
And, of course, we're here to sing and play with the help of... Oh, you brought a wonderful guy with you, Alan Broadbent, to play piano.
So. I brought Alan with me. Fine piano player.
So I guess without further ado, it'd be great to hear you sing.
All righty. This song is the opening track on my new Verve album, which is called Humming to Myself. And it's called Just Tell Him I Said Hello.
When you see him, tell him things are slow. There's a reason, and he's sure to know. But on second thought, forget it. Just tell him I said hello. If he asks you when I come and go, say I stay home 'cause I miss him so.
I just want to know more things about you that I didn't know. Like when you were quitting school, you started a group called the Stone Ponies.
Right, yeah.
I love that.
We thought of ourselves as a kind of a acoustic folk rock band, which just meant that, you know, two guys with guitars and me. And we would play, you know, clubs. We would come to New York and play clubs, and the air conditioning was usually louder than we were, you know. We'd be with some electric... We used to play with the Mothers, you know, because we had the same manager. We'd open for... It was like Bambi and Deep Throat on the same bill.
Well, how did you get started? How did you decide you wanted to do rock? I mean, did you know you were going to start a group? It must have been a boyfriend there somewhere.
See, everyone in my family sang, and when we were kids, everybody sang. If you were going to the car or anywhere, if you're washing the dishes, if you're outside raking in the yard, we sang with each other over the telephone. Everyone sang harmonies. It wasn't until a long time, I was almost, you know, probably 15, before it occurred to me that everybody didn't sing. And in this culture, we have a nasty habit of delegating art to professionals, you know, which is really, truly a shame. Everyone should do their own singing, dancing, and playing. And then we have champions like you who do it really well. But people should be doing it in their home. But at any rate, we did. And so I will always try anything that I heard before the age of 10. I feel I can, you know, I feel it's fair game for me, whatever kind of music. There's lots of stuff there. If I heard it after 10, I don't know how to do it. I won't try it. But there was lots of stuff going on, fortunately. But, you know, I always felt like I was to be a singer. My aunt was a singer, and she toured the world, and she would come and tell us all these wonderful stories. And so I just figured I would sing. I thought of myself in a hall like this, really. It took me, you know, until I was age 58 to get here. But it's a pleasure and a privilege to play in a place that is truly dedicated to music, you know, so.
So what came next?
I finally arrived.
What came next? Did you go into another kind of groove?
I went to Los Angeles. I was 17, and I really liked my parents. You know, both of them, my father, everybody in my family was a good singer, so I didn't have that 60s, I hate my family thing.
Well, and they liked what you did. They didn't hate...
Well, I'm not so sure about that, but especially my older brother, he always had a problem with me. But, you know, everything where I was in Tucson, art that was arts or any intellectual ideas, great movies, anything, things like that struggled in Tucson, and I was impatient with it. And there were great musicians in L.A. The first night that I arrived in L.A., we went down to this little folk place called the Ash Grove, and I ran into Ry Cooder, you know, who is still my favorite guitar player in the world. I mean, I heard him play, and that was it. I went, I'm not going back home. They got people like it. No one ever heard of Ry Cooder then, but I didn't care, you know. He was the best, you know, so I wanted to get to play with the best musicians I could. That was what was really on my mind.
So did you hang out with him, or did you work with him?
No, he was very intimidating. I love him. He's a great, brilliant guy, and got a heart of gold. You know, he's just not a person that you walk up to and say, hey, you know. So I didn't.
But you did something. You got another group together.
I left home with a friend from Tucson, who, you know, was just a pal, and we ran into another guy, the guy that was playing guitar with Ry that I saw there, and we, you know, he got him in the band, Kenny Edwards and Bobby Kimmel, they were the guys. And we just played. In those days, there was a network of folk music clubs. You could learn. We were terrible. I mean, I was just hopeless, you know.
Can't believe that.
Well, I was loud, mainly, you know, I think I was loud. And we could play all over the country. We could play New York, Philadelphia, Boston, Washington, D.C.
Well, did you get an agent or what?
We'd sort of show up at these hoots, you know. There would be hoot night. We'd show up, you know, and say, well, we're going to sing, you know.
That's one way to get a gig.
Well, then they'd hire, you know, if you played at the open mic, they call it open mic now, I think. If you were okay at that, then they'd offer you a gig, and you were so glad to get, you know, $50 a week or $30 a week or something like that. I was very happy to get that. I used to play in Hermosa Beach across from the Lighthouse. You probably played at the Lighthouse, but I was over there at the Insomniac, which is a beatnik dive, which is now mercifully a parking lot. Oh, thank God. What a place that was. Man, there were the cockroaches you could ride in that joint.
We've got to have another song, Linda. We just got to.
I think we're going to do I Fall in Love Too Easily. I learned this from Chet Baker. Ready?
I fall in love too easily. I fall in love too fast. I fall in love terribly hard, for I love to everlast. My heart should be well schooled, 'cause I've been fooled in the past, but still I fall in love too easily. I fall in love too fast.
How do you choose songs when you're doing a
record? I think they choose me. You know, every song I've ever recorded, I have felt at one time or another that if I didn't get to sing it, I would just die. I mean, I just couldn't survive. And it just is that way. A song will first grab me by the collar, and then I have to feel like I want to grab you by the collar and say, I got to tell you this thing that happened to me. It was this way, you know? And there are certain songs, since I don't write very much, that simply tell that story in one way or another. And often it's not quite what the song is about, literally. It might be something about my trip to the market or a book I'm reading or something, you know, very mundane, but it's important to me at the time.
It's not always a lost love thing or one of those things.
Sometimes. Sometimes it is.
I love a masochistic sounding song.
I
love those.
A depressing song always just cheers me right up.
I was thinking about one of the songs I see listed here, Lush Life by Billy Strayhorn.
It's such a weird song. You know, first of all, it was written by someone who was 16 years old, if you can imagine. A 16-year-old wrote that song. To have achieved that level of really profound sadness.
Very amazing.
In all of the literature, I think this is my favorite.
Isn't that the greatest?
My favorite, yeah. Okay, let's see.
Visit all the very gay places, those come what may places, where one relaxes on the axis of the wheel of life, to get the feel of life from jazz and cocktails. The girls I knew had sad and sullen grin.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, Baldwin Piano Company, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.